Yeah. Uh-huh. Listen up. Yeah. I can see you're new to this. You ain't got no job. You ain't got no experience. You're entry level. You ain't got no qualifications, baby. You're entry level. Your entry level. Your entry level, baby. Your entry level. Ooh, yeah.
If you're feeling overwhelmed lately, you're not alone. Start feeling better with a single message. Talkspace Online Therapy matches you with licensed therapists from the comfort of your device. Get $100 off your first month with code Brooks at Talkspace.com. Welcome to the 200th episode of Entry Level. I'm at his house. He's great. Nick Turner's
wow,
here.
Wow, 200 episodes. I can't believe I've done 200 episodes.
Congrats.
Hard to believe. Yeah, well, thank you.
I mean, we both, our lives have changed. They've changed. This podcast has changed our lives.
Yeah, before I started doing this podcast 200 weeks ago, I would come home from a trip and just veg out.
And now you
But now Brooks comes over.
I come over and I make you perform. On a Sunday afternoon, you just got back from Jason Stein's wedding. Shout out Jason. Yeah. And you are tired, and I'm like, turn it on, baby, because we need to podcast.
Yeah. Also, I do want to say, I know 2 weeks ago you had said that you wanted money from the shirts now, and then last week, and then I said no, and then last week I said yes. I am saying no again. But if you think out there that Brooks should get money from the t-shirts, write in. We're going to talk about it. So hit me up at nickjturner@gmail.com and let me know if you think Brooks deserves any money from these t-shirts.
Fuck, man. You know, 200 goddamn episodes. We have done the amount of time I've wasted in my life through this podcast.
Yeah.
Mugs.
Yeah. This isn't wasted time.
It's a waste of I wasted time on mugs.
Yeah.
I wasted time on the Leonardo DiCaprio episode.
Yeah.
We've wasted time on
shirts. Is Brad, it's 200 episodes. Is Brad Pitt here?
No, that was 2,000 reviews. It was not 200 episodes. It's 2,000 reviews.
Okay. Did we get there?
We did not.
People really stopped reviewing. I feel like we were on a... We were getting reviews so fast.
We were getting so many reviews, but here's what happened is the platforms changed. Like, it's now on Spotify. It's now on all sorts of different things.
Yeah,
so it's not just like a place.
Yeah.
So I while I appreciate reviews.
Fucking Rogan. We don't spend enough time talking about what Rogan talked about this week.
That's true. Seth Rogan.
Yeah.
Is that who we're talking about?
Yeah.
Is an actor who we all love.
Why as a society do we spend so much time talking about the Rogan we don't like when the other Rogan is the person we like the most?
Seth Rogan is one of the coolest people of all time.
The coolest.
Yeah. And then, but we all are like, you know, but what about the one who says don't get vaxxed?
He doesn't tell people not to get vaxxed and then sells his own nutritional supplement for your brain.
You know what I came up with today that people don't like? I said Barstool Sports slogan should be sexual assault happens, get over it.
Yeah.
And people online don't like it.
Yeah, but not real people.
No, people online who love Barstool Sports are like, that's not. I'm like, that is what.
Yeah, but it's not people with like avatars that are their face.
Right.
And then their name attached in like a blue check mark.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. People get all up in arms.
Why do you think people love? I feel like I'm doing a Nick Kroll character. Why do you think that how are people's identities Barstool Sports? Like, what is that?
Oh, you know why? Because it's hard to find new things. They have so many things.
What do you mean they have so many things?
They just have so many podcasts, so many things to... So they make so much content that you don't need to go anywhere else if you're liking it.
Okay. Yeah, they're like, you know, like...
You come for the pizza, and then you end up staying for like two daddy girls or whatever.
We got the guy who played Dennis the Menace in 1991. We got the Dennis the Menace.
You'll never guess what he's up to now. Oh, he is doing
sexual assault.
Yeah. Oh, he is. Yes.
No, we don't know that. Guess. That is, he's. I hope that that is a great guy. Nick.
Oh no
you
way!
You just came back from Jason Stein's wedding. It's a 200th episode. How the heck are you feeling?
Oh my God, I'm feeling incredible.
You're feeling great.
Yeah, that guy went from dying pretty much to having the greatest day of anyone's life.
That
yesterday.
Rocks.
Yeah.
Back to me. I saw local natives last
oh,
night.
Oh, my God.
You were invited, but you were too busy being friends with Jason Sines and being at his wedding. Local natives last night was top. No, I will say best show I've ever seen in my life. It was.
Where's this? The Greek?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Walked up to the Greek. Watched Kelsey, who's been on this podcast.
Yeah.
Murder. He killed it. I cried. We hugged. It was incredible.
Yeah. He murdered a guy?
Yeah. And then they played. It was nuts. I was like, well, I can't believe we're just forgetting about the murder.
I love the Greek because we, you know, we hike by it. Mm-hmm. And every time, the whole pandemic, they've had this sign that says, like, when this is all over, I can't wait to get to the Greek. And that's just for their advertising. It's like just like implanted in my brain. Yeah, when this is all over, I got to get to the Greek.
As soon as your grandparents aren't maybe dead, you're going to come.
As soon as you can finally see your loved ones, take them to the Greek.
Take them to the, bring them to the Greek. It was great. It was fun. It felt awesome. I'm excited.
That's great, man. So what do you think about the Taliban?
The band?
The Taliban. Oh, could you imagine? They would kill in Afghanistan. The Taliban would kill.
You know what?
In Afghanistan.
It took 200 episodes for Nick and I to come up with the greatest joke we've ever come up with. And that's that we are in a new band called the Taliban. And guess what? We rock.
We kill.
We kill.
We murder.
We're so good. Come see the Taliban.
Yeah. And we would never go to the Greek as a Taliban.
Oh, no. We do not. Well, you know what? I almost went too far, but I was going to say we would take over the Greek because they take over Greece.
Yes.
All right. You know what? I don't love our wordplay material, but.
Well, we went too long. We were nailing it.
We were crushing
it. We let it go. But you know what? We could edit it to where perfect.
And that's what's great about this podcast. Never edit it once. You get what you get. Yeah. Sometimes we fuck up and we come up with the Taliban, and sometimes there's golden
stuff. I love it when people get so righteous about doing the thing that is the easiest.
What do you mean?
Not editing. It's like a moral stance. It's like when the, you know, obviously I was just staying.
That's like, it's Barstool Sports free speech. It's like, you just mean you're lazy.
Yeah. It's like when the hotel is like, we're committed to conserving water.
Yeah.
You mean not washing my fucking towels? That's your commitment? That's the only thing you've committed to?
We take a hard stance on letting you know that we are tired.
Yeah, if you want things clean, then make sure to leave it on the floor. If you're a person that likes clean towels, then put all the towels on your floor right now.
Fuck. Let's get out while the getting's good, Nick. I don't even. There's no listener mail this week because it's 200 episodes. If you want to fucking support this podcast, check out the Patreon. Subscribe to it. Buy a mug. Buy a shirt from Nick's website where I get no money, and I'm fine with that.
This week we're going to put up our 200th episode of the Patreon. Not of the Patreon, but a special episode marking 200 of the Patreon where we undelete all of the names we've deleted that we've talked about. It's just going to be a super cut.
It's going to be a super cut where we say people we have like kind of talked about, but then like we look.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin my career, so I'm not going to name names. We're naming names.
Yeah, check it out. It's 4.5 hours long.
It's 4.5 hours, and it's just where we attack people we're jealous of.
Yeah.
Nick.
We're coming for you, Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. It's mostly we're mad at Netflix and Comedy Central. It's all that. That's all it is. Guess who we have on the freaking podcast this
week? Let's see. 200. Probably pretty big. Probably Cosby level.
What?
What?
You think that
Carlin?
Bill Cosby is I would give.
Of course not. I don't think it's Bill Cosby. I'm just saying it's Bill Cosby level.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Louis C.K. probably.
Louis Gomez. No.
If you want content, he makes it.
No, it is Blair Saki.
Oh,
and
hell
she rocks,
yeah.
And I love Blair. She rules. And I had a really fun time talking to
Can
her.
Can you believe it's Saki?
I open up by saying Sochi.
Yeah.
And she corrects me.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about the interview is I didn't know her that well, and I got to know
her.
I
had that same moment with her, but it was like 11 years ago
mm-hmm.
at a show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It wasn't this morning on your porch. Yeah, that's when it was for me. But I do want to say, everyone who listened to the Trevor Moore.
Yeah, you got a real Trevor Moore show. Is Sam next week?
No, but I'm saying.
Gotta get him.
Last week, everybody who reached out and said that they appreciated the Trevor Moore episode, thank you. That was
Oh, I was
unfun.
Just saying, because Blair was on the Trevor Moore show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was his psychic on the Trevor Moore show.
Her and
Sam were on it. Anyway.
Well,
yeah.
We were, so basically, just full disclosure, sorry. Nick and I recorded a pre-Trevor,
put that on the Patreon.
Yeah, we'll put out the, you know what?
That's a good idea.
We'll put out our pre-Trevor passed away intro on the Patreon, and then how do you feel about it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of our friends have died, and I was not that close to Trevor.
Okay.
And it's this weird moment whenever someone dies that you think, I wish I was closer.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I always liked him and respected him, and I'd see him out, and I didn't really talk to him very much, but, you know, just recognize each other, say hi. But it's this weird thing where you're like, I wish I was better friends with him. And also, I'm glad I'm not as close that this is like fucking ripping my heart out like some of the deaths that we have experienced.
Yes. It like fucked me up so badly.
Yeah. No one hated him.
Yeah, and I hated him.
You hated him. No, I'm saying it's just, man, many people hate us, you know?
Well, yeah.
It's crazy.
It fucked me up so bad that like it selfishly made me like not like it brought up Kevin.
Uh-huh.
Here's all I mean. It fucked me up so bad. I cannot imagine if you were his best friend in the way that Kevin was our best friend. That's how I felt. I was like, I'm devastated, and I barely knew Trevor.
No, and
I fucking love Trevor.
If you haven't gone to Sam's Instagram, then
Sam Brown?
Yeah, Sam Brown has been putting up so many like incredible pictures and stories about Trevor. So many crazy things. He was saying like, I saw one post recently where he and Trevor exchanged gifts every year. That was an invisible box. And every year, like if they weren't in the same city on their birthdays, like next time you see him, they would give each other the box. And he was like, at the end, he was like, I'm really happy that Trevor is going to have that box forever. And it was like that. And that
all right, follow down. Sam Brown rocks. I'm going to bug him to do this dumb podcast. Trevor, was incredible, and I really appreciate anybody who reached out and said thanks for putting out that episode because it was not easy or fun. That being said, we did 200 episodes of this fucking podcast, and I appreciate everybody who listened to every one of them.
I'm gonna say this is probably my 100th episode anniversary personally.
You've absolutely
done 100.
This podcast has the only, you know what, before I started this podcast, I took privilege at the fact that I felt like I was the only person in the world who had never feuded with you. I said, Nick Turner has feuded with everybody in the world.
Oh, no, we feuded.
Not before this podcast. This podcast caused our feud.
No, well, I mean, sure, we feuded over this, but we feuded.
No, I was never mad at you.
Look, if you're not feuding with anyone, that means you don't have any long-lasting male adult friendships. It's hard to maintain decades-long friendships with other psychopaths. And sometimes you go over rough patches where you hate each other for a month or two. And that's fucking fine. Like, we'll be there later. Go hang out with someone else for a few weeks. It doesn't matter. It's so hard. It's so hard to enjoy someone.
Yes. This podcast, so you're welcome, everyone.
Yeah.
Caused me and Nick to have a 2-month rough patch.
Anyway, write me and let me know whether Brooks deserves fucking anything for what he's done to me.
Nick, I love you.
I love you too.
Fucking best friend.
Thanks, man. You
Thank
too.
You so much for helping me do this podcast. I'm excited for everybody to listen to this Blair.
Here's to another 20 episodes.
Yo, dudes, this week's episode is brought to you by Talkspace. Talkspace rules. It's online therapy. They sent an incredible document on what to talk about, but I'm just gonna shoot from how I feel right now. Therapy's good. I have tried it a few times, and every time I do it, it helps. But my biggest problem with therapy is driving there, finding a therapist, finding someone who matches well with me. And it is difficult to go to therapy. What rocks about Talkspace is it's online. You go there, you go to Talkspace.com and you put in how you're feeling, what's happening, and they match you with a therapist who specializes in what you're going through. And that can help a lot. Then you're not just walking blindly into somebody who's like, look, man, I don't, you know, I'm a divorce therapist, which maybe if you need that, that's awesome. But I don't need that right now, personally for me. So when I go and I'm just like, hey, I'm having trouble with like a friend passing away. And I don't want to handle it the wrong way. That's what Talkspace is cool for. So go to Talkspace.com and get help. Like, it's not even help. Like, don't even go there to feel better and process your emotions. I don't process my emotions, and I'm starting to, and I gotta be honest, it feels good. So guys, this is like, it's fun to do an ad that I appreciate and I agree with. So start feeling better with a single message. Okay. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code Brooks. That's $100 off when you use the code Brooks at Talkspace.com. Use it. And also, even if you don't use the promo, check it out, man. It can't hurt. It only helps. Talkspace.com. Hell yeah. Yo, welcome to this week's episode of Entry Level. It's a 200th episode.
Wow.
I mean, that doesn't mean anything, but Blair Sochi's here.
Saki, yes. Blair Saki, you know, here.
We're learning. You know what I told my girlfriend before you came over? I was like, I don't know Blair that well.
Yeah.
And that makes for a better interview, I hope.
Right.
Dude, how's it going?
It's good. I just got out of the car from San Diego.
Okay, what were you doing down there?
I was doing American Comedy Company.
They rock.
Yeah.
Isn't it back inside?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I heard it was interesting outside. Did you do an outside show there?
I went and did the outside show. I did their like 8th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And it was the first time I did comedy in like a year.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is not
it.
It. Well, not it. Like, I was like, this is as hard as comedy ever is.
Yeah.
You're outside.
Yeah.
Downtown San Diego on a sidewalk. People are blackout drunk.
Right.
And I'm like, God, I'm just trying to figure this out right now.
Yeah.
How was it though?
It was really fun. And also, I mean, I'm from Orange County, but mm-hmm. I hadn't been in the Gaslamp like district. It reminded me, it was fucking going off. Like it was like New Orleans mixed with Arizona.
Yeah. My joke is that it at 2 a.m, it looks like the opening to Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Where people are just like, leave me.
Yeah. It's crazy. And I'm like, a lot of the people don't look like they live there also.
No. Well, I mean, it's a military base right there.
Yeah.
Dope. Great.
Yeah.
Blair's a great comic. I'm excited for everybody to meet her. I am excited to meet you too. So you're from, we were just talking. So I saw local natives last night at the Greek right up here. We're both Los Feliz boys.
Yes, we're a couple of Los Feliz boys.
Yeah, I see you all the time getting coffee. And I walked up to the Greek to watch my friend, and then you said you went to college with him. No, you went to high school with
him. I went to high school with Kelsey, yeah. I haven't seen him in years, but we like hung out together as like 14, 15, 16 years old. And then like we'll message online a little bit, like when I haven't been following, I didn't know. And now he's like in this huge band, but like he was playing music. Like I watched his first bands. Like I saw his first bands.
Yeah. I mean, I'd seen him before, and last night I cried.
Really?
I felt like they took it to a different level, and the crowd also took it to a different level.
Right. Everything's so heightened now after everyone's been locked inside. It's like so much more meaningful.
Yeah. So how were your shows in San Diego? Did you feel good or?
I did. I've been on the road a little bit again, actually a lot the last like month or two. So it's been felt really good. But
how long did it take you? How many shows before you were like, I forgot I'm great at this?
A while. There was like a lot of like up and down where you're like, oh, this is fun. The adrenaline. I forgot about this. I forgot that this is like, I forgot that this job has meaning to other people. You know what I mean?
It's not just me.
Yeah. And then like there's so much psychologically after not having done it for a while. Like part of me was like, yeah, like I can be way looser because I don't need to take shit so fucking seriously after that year.
Right.
Yeah. And then another part of me is like, what am I even saying? Am I saying anything important? Like, you know, there's so many. It's like such a wide spectrum of.
Yeah. Because so for my like first week back, I was meticulously writing a set list like when I started comedy.
Yeah.
You know, like here's where I'm going to go. Here's where I'm going to go. Here's where I'm going to go. And because it was, you know, I was nervous.
Right.
And then I realized, you know, and then I'm like, that's not how I do comedy.
Right.
I just need like a map.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't need to hit every stop.
Yeah.
But let's get to the, like, and it took, so for me, it was a week before I was like, wait, this isn't how we do this. We do it this way.
Were you genuinely scared? Cause like, you know.
I thought about canceling my first show.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause when I think of, I mean, I haven't seen you that many times, but like when I have seen you, I think of you as like very comfortable and loose.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would say almost, yeah. I would say, too loose sometimes?
No.
No, but I'm saying I could tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I come from that New York because I started in New York.
Where we met.
Yes. Which, by the way, was so funny the way we met.
So funny. You knew my ex-fiance.
But, like, I didn't know her at all.
Okay, doesn't matter. We don't even need it. But you and Che were friends.
Yes, yes, we were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He rocks.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are. I don't know why I just said we were.
Yeah, you are. Anybody who doesn't like Michael Che, anytime people give him hate online, I'm like, you don't know him.
Oh, I feel the exact same. Like, there is nobody I have ever seen. Like, when he walks in a bar, he will talk to every single person. He will talk to every comic, like, whether they are anybody or nobody. He, like, buys people everything. He's constantly, like, giving to charity. He's, like, such a good person.
He's great. But his online persona is terrible. But him as a person rocks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know what? This isn't about Che. This isn't about local natives. This is about Blair Saki, which I just learned how to do your name right. And that's a style of friendship I like. We're learning now.
Yeah.
Blair, where are you from? And what was your first job?
Oh, okay. I am from Orange County, and my first job...
White power, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just want to take this moment to say white power.
God.
Huntington Beach.
Wait, time out. How do you feel about it being hijacked by, like, Nazis? 'Cause that's
Orange County?
Yeah.
Well, I would say it's really Huntington Beach is the place that has gotten, like, insane... I just did a show there last week, and I just opened the show like, what's up, QAnon? Like,
yeah.
I was just like...
It's nuts.
Yeah, it's really scary and weird. I mean, I think it's gotten, like, really Florida.
Yeah. When I moved to, quote-unquote, Los Angeles, I moved to Huntington Beach because I thought it was L.A.
Right, I think I remember you telling me that.
And it's not L.A.
Yeah, it's... Not even close.
But I met a bunch of really nice people there that rocked.
Yeah.
And to the fact that they have like All Lives Matter rallies, I'm like, no, this is a surf town. Stop.
I know. Well, I grew up a surf kid and that was like my culture.
So where did you grow up in Orange County?
San Juan Capistrano, San Clemente.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the most southern town in Orange County.
Which I for me, as an outsider, who actually did live in Orange County, so maybe not so much of an outsider, best place.
Yeah.
San Clemente is like Remember the cartoon Rocket Power?
Yeah, it's so funny because people always say Rocket Power to me, like when they meet me, especially in New York, because that's like their concept of what it was. But yeah,
Rocket Power felt like San Clemente.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, I also think it's like the least pretentious beach town. It's like the most low key.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not close to anything.
It's not
exactly halfway between San Diego and LA.
Yeah, yeah.
Dope. Okay, so you grew up in San Clemente.
Yeah.
In the 90s, what's it like?
I mean, so I'm the youngest only girl of older brothers. So
how many brothers?
I have two older brothers.
You do?
Yeah. That's total comedian. Like, I think most comedians, I have a weird sense of like being able to guess people's birth order, but like I can always tell like a youngest kid, a middle kid, oldest kid. But for the most part, I think most comedians are youngest children.
Yeah, I mean, because for me,
yes,
I was the least like my brothers are both incredible athletes.
Yeah,
and I wasn't, and so I was like, well, I got to develop a different skill.
Yeah, I know you have to cultivate, except for your marathon. That was crazy.
I'm fine. I'm a fine athlete, but my brothers are next level.
Right.
And I was always a disappointment to, like, the new coach. Like, oh, cool, we have another Whelan.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They're like, this one's different.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Like, we have my brothers are so good.
Shit.
That when I showed up, they're like, ah, this is a guy.
Yeah, yeah, like the one Manning brother. Damn. Damn.
That's me.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Guy.
You're the one Manning brother, but then, you know, you made your own beautiful way.
So wait, what do your brothers do? What are they up to?
They're both in, they have like very fancy jobs, commercial real estate, gorgeous wives, gorgeous children, gorgeous houses.
Snooze, snooze, snooze. I'll tell you what, they don't have a Los Feliz coffee spot where they run into pals.
But like, no, I was a freak athlete.
Okay.
So
really? What?
Yes. So I played volleyball at UCLA.
Okay. That's so my ex played volleyball.
Yeah.
For who cares? But,
yeah.
Maybe that's how, either way.
Yeah.
So go on about volleyball. What are you talking about?
Well, and I was a competitive surfer when I was a,
what?
Yeah.
Go on. I'm gonna stop talking.
No, but I quit really young because I was clear like volleyball was going to be like my way to college. I want to be like a professional volleyball player.
But it's so funny that you're like, I quit surfing to follow what I should do, volleyball.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I had to be reasonable. My path is volleyball.
And honestly, my path was only volleyball because my mom took me out of soccer, which would have been the real shit.
Soccer rocks.
Yeah, like I was a fucking menace because like all I had, my frame of reference was just like man-to-man combat in my house with my brothers.
Right.
So I would just fucking body check, like be like 10 years old and just like out of my, like everyone was afraid to even come near me.
Right.
And then my mom took me out of that, and like I'm really small for volleyball. I'm like not very tall.
That's,
so.
I mean, that's what I thought. I was like, volleyball people I know are like 6'1".
Yeah, like all my girlfriends are like 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". Like, yeah. And I like sniff 5'6" on a good day. You know?
When you sleep, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about, what do you mean you left competitive surfing at a young age?
Oh, I mean, I wasn't like, I wasn't even shortboarding. It was like not that like serious. I was just doing a bunch of those longboarding competitions.
But how old were you?
I probably quit when I was 4, because like the next bracket was 14 to 17, mm-hmm. which is like such a large spectrum of ages at that.
Well, also like the difference between a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old is
crazy.
Wild.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, oh, they're an adult and this person is like excited for the braces.
Yeah, like a baby. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I was going, all my time was taken up by volleyball anyways, but yeah, so I just stopped that.
Yeah, I remember the first time, so my first time I wrestled in high school.
You were a wrestler?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was 14 wrestling, this is unimportant. Wrestling varsity, my freshman year, like 125. The guy had to go wrestle. They made him shave because he had too much of a beard. before we wrestle. They're like, he's got too much of a beard. He needs to shave. And I'm like, what the fuck is about to happen?
Yeah, and you're like, I don't have a chin hair yet.
Yeah, I'm my God. I'm like, I don't even have pubes.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to get like this grown man in a leg hold.
He beat the shit
really?
Out of me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was wrestling like? Like, were you ever in just like a lot of pain?
Yeah, no, I love wrestling. It's my favorite sport in the world. My brother is a coach in Iowa. They won the last three state championships.
Wow, go off, Iowa wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, I love wrestling. It's my favorite sport in the world. I've talked about it ad nauseum.
Oh, okay, sorry to the listeners.
No, but yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I understand we're not the same. Like,
yeah.
I'm a freshman, you're a senior, you
are
Yeah.
Well, my freshman year at my school, a bunch of the seniors got cut. And I made varsity.
Yeah.
And then I had a movie where I had my locker underneath one of the scariest bitches who got cut. And so, like, she would just, like, bully me. Like, and she'd, like, kick my locker door shut and be like, nice game last night, Saki. Just totally like a cartoon character.
Yeah, rocket power.
Bully, yeah. Yeah, and I just like shut my locker and I'd just be like, oh, I guess I have to just like take the fact that I am on the team and she's not and try to go about my day without getting my ass kicked.
Dude, you know what? It's like makes total sense that you were, you know, like a hardcore athlete because like comedy is a real thing. It's a last resort. Like we failed at what we wanted to do. And now we do comedy.
Well, I have such a weird story of comedy because, like, I didn't see a comedy show until I was, like, 25. Like, I never saw or watched comedy growing up. I didn't even know it existed. Like, there's no culture in Orange County.
Let's get to it. Okay, so you're growing up. You're doing longboard surf competitions.
Yeah.
We're going to get to you doing comedy. What are you what are you doing in San Clemente for jobs? Like, what's the jobs that you get in deep Orange County?
I mean, with my insane sports schedule, the only jobs that I would be able to do was like babysitting.
Okay. Were you good?
A good babysitter? I don't know. Like, maybe. I love kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, like, I feel like I probably am like a very childlike person. So I think I was good. I would just like play with them and shit.
Yeah.
It was also like before we had phones. So you would just be like actually present, you know? I wasn't trying to like check any shit.
Right. I remember when I was a babysitter, all I did was beat levels in video games the kids couldn't beat.
Yeah.
They're like, yo, I'm having trouble at this Super Mario World. I go, I got it.
Yeah, you're like, your superhero babysitter has got that on lock.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. I'll take you right through to the next level.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, dude,
that's a blue Yoshi. You're going to want that blue
Yoshi.
Yeah.
What were we doing with Star Fox?
Yeah.
Use the boost to get through.
Okay, so you are surfing. You don't have a lot of time. You go to college. You're best friends with Kelsey from Local Natives. And you play volleyball.
Yeah.
Turns out incredibly well.
Uh-huh.
Like, what do you mean? I've never interviewed anybody who played Division I athletics.
Yeah.
How do you get there?
I mean, one, I was just, like, a freak athlete. Like,
I'm saying, like, what happened?
Oh, I went, and then, like, high school, I got all the things, like, the All-State, we went to the state championship, the CIF, like, many years, and whatever, yada, yada, yada. I really liked it.
Did you do the Junior Olympics?
I did Junior Olympics.
So
I trained in Colorado Springs.
Ex-girlfriend did Junior Olympics, too. And it was like, you moved to Colorado, and what are you talking? Like, it's insane.
It is crazy. I mean, like, that was my entire life. Like, I never thought about anything else. Like, I wanted to be a pro volleyball player, which now seems like the most insane thing in the world.
Dude, it's exactly the same for me because I was like, I want to wrestle Division I.
Yeah.
And as soon as it went away and it was my whole identity, that's when I found comedy. Because I was like, I need to take this psycho, like, drive and do something else.
Yeah, I am like a pretty obsessive person. Probably all of us are.
Mm-hmm.
But I quit volleyball at UCLA 2 years in.
Wait, okay. So how did you go to UCLA?
I just got recruited. And
I know, but like, what's it? What do you mean? Just got recruited? Like, you are saying these things like they're normal. They're not normal.
Yeah, I mean, I went on a bunch of recruiting trips, and
Okay, you're a junior in high school.
Yeah.
The day you become eligible for people to reach out to you,
yeah,
are you just
yeah.
getting letters?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like you'd get letters before they were allowed to call you or talk to you or come
so
see you.
So what happens? Like, how does that work?
Then they call you and then they like ask you to go on trips and they like court
you. So
you
get to do like five, right?
I don't remember. I didn't know there was a limit. I sort of knew I wanted to go to Stanford. They didn't recruit me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like USC or UCLA were the two that I cared. USC had just won the championship. My brother was going to USC. I thought I had a better chance of playing at UCLA. I went on some recruiting trips back east that my dad made me go on, even though I was like, I'm not fucking going here.
Mm.
I went on one to Harvard, and I had the craziest story because
go on.
We were at, like, I was eating with the team, and they started bringing up this website where they were like, oh, my God, and they were on it where they were being rated, like, hot or not, and, like, then they go on and it turns out it was Facebook. Like in the first like month of Facebook.
Dude.
Isn't that crazy?
I almost said that rocks. It doesn't rock. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Facebook, like, you know what? You know what's crazy about Facebook is I remember, so we're similar age.
Yeah.
I remember in college, it was just a college thing.
Yeah.
And there was this whole thing of like, hey, keep townies off Facebook. Keep it for college kids.
Oh, right. I remember that, too.
Yeah. And
keep
I was,
the creepy old men off
And
there.
I remember being like, who cares?
Yeah.
Looking back, it destroyed the world. It yeah. literally destroyed the world.
Yeah, it really did.
We should have kept townies off Facebook.
I know.
You only get it 18 to 22, and you're out.
Yeah. I famously like think social media is the worst thing ever. I fucking
it
hate it.
I'm addicted
and like I got rid of Facebook a while ago. I renegotiated my relationship with social media during the quarantine. Like I took long I take like a month off. Like I had never done that since I started comedy. Mm-hmm. And I would just feel my brain. It was like finally getting oxygen for the first time. I was like
yeah.
You know, like coming up from air out of the water.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I fucking hate this shit. Like, I would, all my dream is to have none.
Dude, that's why I like camping so much. It's
I
like,
know.
I'm out of service. And then I'm like, this is incredible. Then as soon as I hit service, I'm like,
yeah. But I see all your like incredibly like picturesque camping trips. And I'm like, I want.
Come
your
with.
I would die to go with.
Just come with. It's a curated bullshit version of my life. But come, like, I'll
all
let you know next
my
time.
All my soul wants is to be in gorgeous nature.
That's all. It's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Okay. So you go to UCLA.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to bring it back. You go to UCLA to be a Division I athlete, which
yeah.
is, like, crazy.
Yeah. You know what's so funny is, like, what we were talking about with the identity crisis, and I've always been like this, like, as soon as I quit, I, like, never thought about it again. Like, I had zero identity crisis because there had been so many things, like, I had wanted to do since I was always, like, a really artistic kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always a book nerd. And, like, there was just so many things I had wanted to do since I was a kid that I had never gotten to do because I had just been in insane sport. And Orange County is just, like, crazy with sports. Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's, like, an incubator for, like, a lot of people in the NFL, a lot of people in the NBA, like, a lot of water polo, volleyball. You know, it's just, like, a big hub.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, people with money who can put it
yes.
towards their children
yes.
to get better at things.
Yes, exactly. And it's just, like, very active, like, culture. Like, it's just...
How did you feel about the OC when it came out?
I mean, I was pretty young and like, I think it's funny. Like I didn't care. I'm not someone who takes.
I didn't watch it, but I'm saying like, if there was a show that came out when I was in high school called Iowa, I feel like I would be pissed.
Oh, I didn't care at all. Like I don't take offense to those things. Like a lot of it's true. A lot of it's exaggerated. Like mm-hmm. when I finally got to New York, like I grew up so sheltered in Orange County.
Really? What do you
mean? I mean, there's like, I never like to shit on Orange County because it is like a really, the people there, if you talk to them, are like so nice, and it's
they
all
rock.
Like, yeah, but then.
We called the people who visited 909ers.
Yeah.
Like, because if you live in, I lived in Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
And I loved it. My friends who I lived in this apartment complex with rocked. And
yeah.
They were sweet. And then on the weekends, people from
right.
the Inland Empire,
yeah.
which is the 909 area code,
right.
they come in and they fight.
Yeah.
And we're like, these fucking 909ers are ruining our town.
Yeah. I mean, we always said that growing up. And like, as I got older, I was like, oh my God, that seems like really classist that these fucking beach people. But like, it's true though.
They come in and fight.
My brother's got a lot of, in like a lot of fights. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, like it was interesting because there are, what I love about Orange County, and I still feel this when I go back there, that I really miss in like cities and this feeling of like sort of in our profession, is it's like, it's very family oriented. And I love that, you know, even though like I don't understand or agree with the politics or like many things, there's no arts there. There's no like, it's very homogenous. My upbringing was in a way where, you know, it's very polite society, so no one talks about mental health, no one talks about rape, no one talks about race, no one talks about class, no one talks about, they just don't discuss anything that's yeah. like even slight, nothing's talked about.
Yeah, I've you know, noticed, like, I didn't know you couldn't tell like your mom or your dad you're being dumb, you know, like,
oh yeah, I've never said anything like that
yeah,
to my
like,
parents.
I feel that way, I love my mom and dad, but yeah. like when they're being crazy, I'm like, you're being fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't know that's not how some families act.
Right, right, right.
And they tell me, they're like, you're being, you know, like.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're all nuts, but like the idea of not expressing it,
yeah.
I didn't know about.
Yeah, which was so, it was, that part of it was really hard for me, I'll be honest. Like, and that's, I think, why I felt so drawn to comedy. And like, because I was not like that. Like, I couldn't understand that, not like just being straight up about how you feel about something,
yeah.
you know? And like, and then I always felt like a weird guilt about that, or like I was wrong or something. And then when I first saw comedy, and especially when I saw women, and I would see like, I just remember seeing like Megan Gailey and Lisa, who are some of the most like
Lisa Traeger.
Straight up bitches you've ever, like they're.
I mean, Megan and Lisa are both friends. Lisa is a great. Lisa takes the stage, and you're like, God damn! And so does Megan.
Yeah.
But like, Megan is more like, I'd like to like have a beer with Megan after this. Lisa, I'm like, I gotta get away. I'm nervous to be around Lisa.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean, but
because she's so cool.
I just mean
her onstage persona is so powerful.
Yeah, and effortless too. Yeah. Like, but I remember just watching both of them, and like, I sort of gotten to know them, became friends with them at that time. But like, they had been doing comedy 8 years, and I had been doing comedy 1 year I met them.
Okay, let's get to how you even got into comedy. So you go to UCLA, you do 2 years, and you're like, this sucks.
No, I got hurt. I got hurt and lost my spot the first day of Hell Week. My second year.
Explain Hell Week. I've never had a division.
Oh, okay. So like by the end of my freshman year, I was starting. We went to the like Elite Eight. It was like really exciting. I felt like I really had my place, and I was like, I'm fucking on a roll, you know?
Yeah.
And then like we train all off season, whatever. I got hurt, like I hurt a pop in my knee or whatever, and then I just played on it for like a long time. And it turned out like I was playing on a torn meniscus for like a while, and like what I was in college, since you move, like I was small, I obviously stopped hitting after high school, so I was back row. And
explain what that means. What do you mean stop hitting?
In high school I was an outside hitter, so I played front row.
So that means you're a spiker?
Yes, a spiker. And then in college, like I was so small, like I was just back row player.
So that
defense.
Okay.
And so like you have to dive, and it's really physical on your body.
It's insane. You are like,
I'm rolling.
Yeah. Here's the other thing that, you know, I fucking hate it that there wasn't men's volleyball in Iowa.
Yeah.
I really liked it. But like, what's crazy about volleyball is you watch the NBA. You're like, look at that guy. He fell. You guys are diving on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally. Like diving on the exact court that are like, I can't believe that guy fell on.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also like every play too.
Yeah.
You know?
Like every, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, it's so aggressive.
Yeah. And I do that on a torn meniscus for like, multiple months. And then finally I was like, I went and I was like, oh, I need surgery and whatever. And I was just like, I had other big shit happen, like, personally in my life at that time, too. And I was just like,
what's up?
Well, I feel like I've talked about it on so many podcasts.
Not on mine.
Basically, I was dealing with, like, an intense, like, sexual abuse situation with a volleyball coach.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
So I quit.
That's,
yeah,
that sucks.
It was my high school coach, though.
So. I don't care.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
There's no, like, it's a, either way, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. But anyway, so I ended up quitting, and, like, I just, like, it felt, and we went to the Final Four that year, and the year that I, like, whatever. And then I quit, and I, like, just, it just felt good to quit. Like, I didn't.
Fuck yeah, dude.
It wasn't one of those things where, like, because I watched a lot of my friends in multiple sports quit at UCLA, and then they would have huge identity crises, like, mm-hmm. big, and they'd want to go back and play again and, like, all that stuff. But I just never had that. I, like, joined it, and then after that I just joined so many things I'd always wanted to do.
Yes.
Yeah,
dude, like, what?
Yeah, I got I joined the rugby team because, like,
dude, rugby rocks. It's it's so,
I only played for a week,
but I'm just saying, like, the idea of rugby, I love. My brother played rugby in college, and I was just like, this is so cool.
I loved flag football when I was a kid, and I would fucking murder, like, I could just dance around fools, you know what I mean? I would, like, no one could match my routes, like, it was fucking crazy. And then I would always, like, when I was, like, five, and, like, my family would always make fun of me because, like, I always said I wanted to be the first woman in the NFL. Obviously that's not my dream anymore, but
hey, still could be.
But the rugby team, I would have kept playing, but if they were more hardcore than an NCAA sport, they were 5 days a week and then, like, lifting weights on the week, and I was like, I just quit lifetime of, like, training.
Yeah, my brother, I remember, this is the rugby you should have joined. My brother wrestled at Coe College, it's just his Division III college, but then he played rugby on the off season. And I remember my family went to go watch a rugby game, and I was so excited. And they were too hungover, so they forfeited. And I was
that's
like,
fucking hysterical.
That's the rugby team you want to be on.
Yeah, that is the team I want to be on.
Dude, we can't. We don't feel good.
Yeah. It was really fun. I, like, got, obviously, you know, I had a trying situation, but I did become, like, born again Christian
really?
For, like, a year.
Go ahead. Why? How come?
Because I was, like, running from some, like, I was, like, it had been really trying on my soul what had just, like, gone on.
But how does that work? Like, I've never gone.
Someone took me to, like, a cool church in college, you know, one of those?
Yeah.
Oh, where, my God.
Where everyone sings.
Singing, and, like, they're wearing, like, backwards hats, and they're, like.
I grew up Catholic to where I'm like, this is an out, you clock in and you clock out.
Yeah.
And you're there and you, that's it.
Yeah.
And then when you see people enjoying church, you're like, what?
I know. Well, now, like, I am, you know, I'm LA as fuck. I'm so spiritual. Like, I'm like, I'm doing the TM. I'm doing all the bullshit. I just did ayahuasca, you know.
How was it?
It was sick.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was really cool.
I took mushrooms at the Greek last night. It was great.
Yeah, I wish I took mushrooms at the Greek last night.
It's fun.
The Greek is spiritual in itself.
I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
And I also don't mean to talk trash on church. I'm just saying, like, when you I grew up so Catholic that I didn't know you could enjoy church. And I saw people enjoying church, and I was like, maybe there is something here.
What I feel about these organized religions, you know, not all of them, but I found to see, even as a really young kid, just so much, like, disparity in how people, like, and just hypocrisy, you know, like, even as a really young kid, I could just see it, like, the most religious people would sometimes be the meanest, or they're, like, I can't get over all that, like, Catholic Church rape shit. I'm like, that's, how is, like, that's insane.
No, it's the wildest thing on the planet.
Like, how are you guys still running?
Dude, it's so crazy. And, like, as a kid, you know, like, I was taught, like, well, we are the original, the OG, you know, like, Lutheran and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, this is what you're taught, like, as a Catholic kid, is, like, we're the original. We're the one Jesus made.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, like, you
it's
know.
It's so all ridiculous.
What?
It's so fucking insane.
You mean,
insane.
Like, this, like, whatever. We could.
I know. I respect everyone. I do respect, like, people that. In their religion and their choice, but I just for me, it's I'll never be part of like an organized
church.
Well,
I mean, and also like the Catholic Church in like the 1300s is like
murderous.
The most corrupt. They were like poisoning. Like
I know.
It was like a kid who like it was like the Medici's just ran the world. Okay.
I know.
Okay,
I still pray a lot though.
Yeah.
But I don't know to who. I just pray a lot.
I will blow through a Hail Mary every once in a while.
Yeah, I pray like I'm talking to a friend, you know?
You know what I used to do when I was talking about sports is I would say 10 Hail Marys every night to hope I won the NCAA championships in wrestling.
Wow.
Because I didn't think I needed help to win the state tournament.
Oh, that's so fucking funny. Oh, my God. You got to say that on stage.
Yeah, I was like,
that's
I got state. State. I don't need God for state.
Oh, my God.
The NCAA is going to be tough.
That's so funny. When did you learn, because I used to do the same shit, like, when did you learn that you can't actually pray for outcomes? Because I feel like I just learned that, like, 6 months ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, my prayers got sadder and sadder.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was just like, you know what? Let's pray that I place at state this
year. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it turned into, let's pray I go to state this year.
Yeah, my prayers now are like, if I could just like have a chill day, like that'd be great. Thank you.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, okay, so you join all this stuff. You're at UCLA. Did you finish school there? What'd you
major
in?
Yeah, I finished there, English. And
the easiest one to get a job in.
Also, I know, well, my parent, like, that was already, like, a big, they're like, you're going to major in English? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with that, you know? My dad's, like, very Italian, like, immigrant mentality, like, self-made, and it was
Where's
just,
he from in, is he from Italy or
no? No, but, he's from New Jersey, and he,
That's the other Italy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's literally
and like,
the other Italy.
Like, I have, like, I come from, like, this, like, my dad's just, like, a very intense dude, and, like, he comes from intense Italian
How
stock.
How did he get to San Clemente?
His dad got transferred to Foothill for his job when he was, his senior year of high school, he had to move out here, and he was, like, so mad. But, like, we have history where, like, my great-grandfather, my dad's, on my dad's side, he had like a fruit stand business in the Bronx, and he was just like such a fucking tough dude that like the mafia tried to tell him to like pay the tithe, and he refused, and they slashed his throat, and then they made him go back to, he lived through it. They made him go back to Italy for 2 years, and he came back, and then he just rebuilt the business again.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I know, isn't that crazy? You can't tell because I'm so blonde.
No, I'm just like, your great-grandpa got his throat slashed by the mob in the 50s?
No, like before that. When was that?
The 20s, probably?
I mean, yeah.
That was Prohibition.
The, yeah, yeah.
That's, you know.
Around
you know,
then.
When they were like, hey, we're not going to allow alcohol anymore. This is going to help. And it was like, no, this did the opposite.
Yeah.
We're actually giving money to the bad guys.
Yeah, now they have the full control.
What do you mean they slashed his throat? Like, they, like, can you, do you know any more about this? Like, what the?
I don't know, like, all the details because the story that I have is my great aunt wrote it by hand. Mm-hmm. That's literally what I have in my possession.
Okay.
His name was Pascal. And, he got a full, like, obviously, I think if they meant to kill him, they would have killed him. But they did force it. It was called the Black Hand back then. What the mob was called the Black Hand. That's how old it was. But they made him go back to Italy for 2 years. Took all of it. Then they had to come back. Yeah.
Holy shit.
I know.
So let's get into this comedy. Finish UCLA, English.
Yeah.
And what's the plan?
So then I graduate and I'm like, I had told my family, like, I'm not doing business. Like, I'm going to stay true to who I am. And then, like, 2 months at my parents' house after college, someone offers me a job in commercial real estate. And I'm like, fuck, I want to move out. And so I, like, take this job, and I'm the only woman, and I'm, like, a commercial real estate broker. I took, like, all the tests.
At 22?
Yeah. And I'm the only woman and I have to be in there at 6 a.m., and I just basically have to cold call the whole day. And I just remember being like, I would have like panic attacks because I was like, just like my soul knew I was like, this can't be like all there is to life.
I've talked about it before. I thought about on the way to work, sometimes wrecking my car. So I got out of work. It was like, I will drive into a tree so I don't have to work today.
I felt that, like, when I see those dumb memes on Instagram, like Sunday scaries, I'm like, I had Sunday, like, Sunday the world is closing in.
Yeah.
Like, I had so much fucking anxiety, and I just knew it wasn't right, it wasn't wrong. And so I was like, if I could do anything, what would I do? And I was like, okay, I want to be a novelist. So then I start applying to grad schools, and I did so much research, and I apply to the four easiest schools I could find, because, like, apparently it's like these MFA programs are so competitive, it's like impossible. One in New York that was like my no fucking way school. Get rejected from the four easy ones and get into the New York one.
What was it?
The New School.
I don't know what that is.
It's like Parsons.
I don't know what that is.
It's like the big, besides NYU, it's like the big art school in New York.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you moved there.
Yeah.
That's where I run into you, like, at
And that was before I started comedy.
So I run into you at the Schooner Bar. It was like a...
Che had taken me, and I didn't know we were going to an SNL party. So I had no idea when I was walking. It was Nassim Pedrad's birthday.
It was Nassim's birthday.
I hadn't started comedy at that point.
Okay. And then, so my girlfriend was like, I know Blair. I guess you knew her ex-boyfriend or something. We can talk about this.
Yeah, later. Yeah, yeah.
But she's like, I know that girl. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But Des was like, and yeah, you hadn't even started comedy yet.
I hadn't started comedy yet.
So then you're in New York. You're going to be a novelist. Mm-hmm. I, like, meet you through Mike.
Yeah.
And you're so nice. And that party was so fun. I, like, really had a nice time that night.
I remember I was just telling Rosebud this. Like, I was so shy. I didn't speak. I was just stunned. Like, I don't think I talked that whole party, which is so unlike me.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was a fun, yeah, it was great. Like, but the thing, like, when you're all, like, people are like, SNL, so it must have been so cool to be on it. I'm like, in your world at that moment, everyone you know is on it, and it's not cool.
Yeah, for you. But for me, I was like, oh, my God.
That's what I mean. Like, I lose sight of, we're on a cool show, because I'm like, everyone is here. All right. Of my peers are doing better than me on this show.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
That's how I look at it.
That's how our mind always goes.
I'm the failure on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fun as fuck. You go there. What makes you think to start comedy?
So I was dating a guy who I grew up in the same town with, and we had mutual friends, and he had just started, like, doing open mics. And, like, the reason I, like, very was drawn to him, because he was, like, the first dude I had met from Orange County who had, like, read a book. And, like,
oh my God, that's the
isn't that sad?
The bar is so low.
Because, I mean, I'd met every fucking athlete in the world. Like, I had met them all. And I had just, they were all, like, sort of the same. And, like, he knew everything, was, like, so cultured, and had just moved back from New York. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, oh, my God, I've never met anyone like this. So I moved to New York, where whatever. I become a fan of comedy just in that year. Like, I went to my first show with him.
What was your first show?
The first show I went to was, I saw D'Elia at the Laugh Factory. The second one was the Meltdown.
Meltdown rocks.
Yeah, and it was so fucking cool. But then I get to New York, we break up. I'm like in my first semester of grad school, and I was writing for Splitsider just because I was like a writer.
Oh.
And that's how I met, like, a bunch of people. I was Michael Che's first article ever written about him. From W Magazine. And then, like, a couple months later, me and my boyfriend broke up. I had the thought in the shower, oh, I should start comedy. And then I started 2 days later.
Whoa.
I had never thought about it before once.
That's so cool. So, like, where'd you go? How do you start comedy in New York? Because I moved there to do a show.
Yeah.
And it was even hard then.
Right. I mean, I remember watching you. I remember when you lived there, it was fun watching you.
I was having meltdowns.
I thought you were so good at comedy.
But it was like nightly meltdowns about what had gone wrong that day.
I mean, that's so high pressure though. But I took
it was just like a guy on the subway had a bird. He had a fucking bird. And then, like, then I'm like, look in the crowd, I'm like, it's you.
Yeah.
Like, that guy, he's got the bird in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, New York makes you so good at comedy so quickly.
Yes.
But at the same time, get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, so that is true. Like, so what I did is I, like a lot of people, I took a class. And, like, obviously, you don't want learn one thing in the class. The only benefit of the class is that
gets you
no
on stage.
One else. But no one else around in the class has done it, so you're all, like, the same level.
Dude, I'm a huge fan of taking comedy classes because at the end, you do stand-up.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing.
Yeah, and then I was just fucking launched from there. And, like, and then, you know, I'm just, like, a pretty hardcore person. And so
yeah,
it was just...
You're a Division I athlete. So yeah. You took this, like, psychotic drive that you used to have in volleyball into comedy.
Yeah, and then I was still in grad school because obviously I didn't know that comedy was going to become my career. Right. So I finished my fucking degree, which is just hilarious. It was just like setting money on fire. Mm-hmm.
That's why I did. I'm proud of myself. I did not go to graduate school because I knew I was going to. I was like, I'm burning money.
Yeah, thank God you did that because I had no fucking clue. I had no idea. I mean, I didn't know what I had any idea what I was doing.
Dude.
Yeah.
So, wait. Okay. So, you start doing comedy.
Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah.
When did it start clicking? When did it start working?
I mean, it clicked really fast because...
Really?
Well, like, so what happened was it clicked really fast, but, like, I had always been, like, a writer. And so, my jokes, like, and I'm still sort of like this, even though I'm wild on stage, but, like... I would really spend so much time writing these jokes, like just word. I would like word for word, like very intensely.
Yeah. I would write out verbatim.
Yes,
my sets.
I still do. And I type them out and I have every type set.
You know who does, you know, I don't do that anymore, but you know who still does is Kumail. And I'm like, well, he's like the best in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe I should do that too. Mm. Like, I'm just saying, like, I admire and I feel lazier than I used to be.
I don't know. You also get better where you need it less. But, like, the thing is, like, I just have this fear that I have, like, Alzheimer's and I'm going to forget it all. And so it's just, like, a little blanket I like to bring with me to the show.
Yeah.
And then also with the pandemic, when I literally didn't do comedy for a year, I was like, thank God I have all these archives because I don't remember one fucking word of anything I've ever said.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, wait, it clicked fast. What do you mean it clicked fast? Like,
It just clicked fast, like, and I just sort of understood and, like, you know, the people that were there that saw me, like I was very shy. Like my legs shook on stage for like 4 months.
I didn't take a mic. I didn't take the mic out of the stand for 2 years. For 2 years,
yeah,
no mic out of the stand.
Yeah.
Hands in the pockets, leaning down.
Yeah, yeah. So like my legs would shake, but like what I had to say was like good. And like I started out really deadpan too, which makes you, it feels less, you're less emotionally open.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy. Yeah, 100%. I feel the thing that clicked when I said it after my seventh show was I was trying too hard just to rely on my material.
Yes.
And not my performance.
Oh, my God. When it would not go well, I was dead in the fucking water. I had no idea what to do. I was like, it was really bad. But, like, then it just sort of, like, it just happened really fast, like, all the mics, the shows, and then, like, I got on a MTV show like 2 years in.
What show?
It was called Ladylike. It was a prank show with Nicole Byer.
I mean, I love Nicole.
And Mateo Lane and Megan Gailey and Jade Catapretta.
That's the most, not those women, but the idea of the show is why MTV is dead.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Ladylike, a prank show. Like,
yeah.
Dude, MTV used to rock.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, I guess I'm like a little fucking menace, but I loved doing these like really intense pranks. Like, I thought it was hilarious.
It's fun. But
they all hated it. Like, everyone on the show besides me like hated it. I guess I was like, I came from like being a little sister where I was just like pranked my whole life. So,
well, how'd you get that show?
I just saw it. Like, oh, I met someone at a party who I was talking to, and I had no idea their casting director, had no idea even when I left that they were a casting director, never talked about it. Then they called me in for audition, which I left my computer coding job that I had lied to get.
Go on. Talk about that job.
The rent was really expensive. I was in grad school, or grad school was ending, and I fully lied to get a computer coding job. Made up a resume. I looked online, made up a resume, made up sources, like go and interview after studying about computer coding, get the job. Then on the first day, it's like eight dudes, and I just like cozy up to one dude, and I was like, can you show me how to do all this? Write down like the most meticulous notes, and then I was like making $40 an hour. Like,
incredible. Like the most yes. money you've ever met.
Yes, yeah.
The
yes.
Still probably the
yes,
most money.
And then I like learned how to do it like so fucking easily.
What code? What were you writing in?
I mean, I could never do it now, but this was just sort of the same shit over
and
over.
Was it like C++?
No, it was educational sophomore. I think it was C++.
Okay, yeah. So,
but it was many years ago, so I have no fucking clue.
Right. I was an engineer, so I did. I would write in C++, and I hated it.
Yeah.
I remember having to make tic-tac-toe.
Yeah. Like, well, I just roll in so fucking hungover, like mm-hmm. every day. I'd like shuffle in, like wearing like sweatpants. I come an hour late and leave an hour early.
I'd take a pillow to work. To sleep in my car.
Yeah. So that was really crazy.
So you're doing that while pursuing stand-up.
Yeah, and I mean, I had...
Any tips? So, dude, people, what would you say worked for you that led to you getting on a show 2 years into comedy? Because that's incredibly fast.
Yeah, I mean, look, my career has not gone as smoothly.
Dude, nobody's career goes smoothly.
Yeah.
But like 2 years in, you did it. Like, yeah. what do you think worked for you?
What I would say about that was like, I think, and I've distilled this down like now that I've been in this like 8 years, including the pandemic. But like, I think the more you're just really into it, and like, it sounds so cliche and is even harder to do, but the more relaxed and fun you're having, the more shit comes to you. Like, the harder you close your fist on shit and like need anything from anyone, the more you repel it, is what I've come to understand from what I've observed.
That's exactly my experience at SNL. Was like,
yeah,
I never thought it was gonna happen. Didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Give a fuck. Got it.
Right.
Then I gave a fuck so hard.
Of course.
And lost it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you get things because you don't need them.
Right.
And as soon as you beg for them, they leave.
Yeah, and I think that's just, and I mean, I'm only very slowly learning this in my
Me
old
too.
Age.
Me
but
too.
Like, I mean, like the more you give your power, like forfeit up your power to anything outside yourself for happiness, security, validation, relationship, like whatever, instead of just existing like in a non, like I'm really, really trying to stay. I heard Rick Rubin say this, where it's just like, you know, just like let whatever needs to come, and whatever needs to go.
Dude, yeah.
Like, and just like, it's, you have to just like watch things leave and just know like that's not supposed to be there, or this thing that sucks, be like, there's a reason.
I mean, there's a reason Che is the head writer at SNL.
Yes.
And there's a reason I left. Is like, because he absolutely prescribes to that. Or
yeah, he always says like, this can all go away in a second. He said that from day one.
Yeah, and he's just mellow.
Yeah.
Like, I remember we would write a sketch and it would bomb. He's like, Brooksy, it's no problem. And I'm like, this is the worst day of my life, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, that's the vibes you need.
Right.
Okay, so you do this show on MTV. What was the moment you felt like you were going to make and then we'll wrap up, like, that you're like, I can't believe comedy's going to work?
That was the moment.
It was getting that show?
Yeah.
How did it happen? Talk about it.
So I leave this job in the middle of the day, and I just don't even say anything to go do this audition, hoping that it's just going to be like 45 minutes and I'm going to be like, I had a doctor appointment. There ends up being a huge line. It takes like 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, they're way behind. I'm gone for 4 hours. But when I get to the audition, it's like they just improvise. They have someone there to improvise with, like, and they give you two scenarios. And like, I was so delirious and whatever. And like, I remember being like, this is genuine. I was trying not to laugh because I was like, this is so silly and like hilarious, whatever. I knew it was like, they were laughing really hard, the people watching. And so I was
that
like,
that never happens.
So I just knew, I was like, oh, something, I don't know, whatever. But then I was like, I'm a nobody. Nobody knows who I exist, like whatever. And then I just got it. And they called me and they were like, yeah. And it was like Nicole, who I knew from Girl Code, and like Mateo.
Nicole is literally one of the most famous people in the world right now.
I know.
I love her so
much. Yeah. And the best thing about Nicole is that she's always herself. She's always been herself.
Well, dude, Nicole and I are buds, and I did her podcast, and she talk. She says stuff. She's so just herself.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I said what you said, my agents would make me go to rehab.
Right.
You get, not that Nicole needs, I didn't mean that. I'm just saying, like, she gets to, she is so incredibly herself.
Yeah, she was always like that.
And yeah, no, and I'm like, I should hide a little bit about who I am. And she's like, no, man, be you. And I'm like, you rock.
She's so, she taught me a lot, like, that year, because we spent so much time together. We shot so much hilariously for a show that, like, whatever. But she taught me a lot. Like, I grew up in a place where I only saw women in, like, one way as, like, caretakers and, like, sort of orbiting around men, servicing men. And like, I didn't feel like, it took me a long time to feel like I was okay to like take up space and like talk how I feel.
That rocks. And so the people who made you feel like you should do comedy were like Lisa and Megan. Like, what do you mean in that? Like, where did you see them that you're like, These women like rule?
I mean, I had already started when they moved from Chicago and we became friends or whatever, but I was very new and they had been doing it for a long time.
And the confidence that those two have.
Yes. And I was just watching them on stage and the stuff they were saying and stuff, like, it was just like sort of mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They rock.
Yeah. And just like all the, like, and I hilariously interviewed Amy Schumer before her Inside Amy Schumer came out. And like, it's so crazy to remember this, because like, I was coming from a perspective of like, my parents still haven't seen me do comedy, by the way. I was coming from a perspective of just like, I can't believe a woman's like, is allowed to say anything. And the most gendered questions ever, where if like I was a woman now that got those questions, I'd be like, Jesus fuck, you know?
Yeah.
But I asked her the questions from my very naive, tiny, sheltered perspective, where I was like, so what do your parents think about what you say on stage?
Whoa.
Like, which would never be asked to a man ever.
Right. What did
she cut the interview short, rightfully so. But I had no idea.
No, you weren't wrong. But that's why I was like, what did she say? Like, you're a great comic when like I see a lot of American Apparel billboards, and Schumer has this joke. It's like and I'm paraphrasing, this is her joke, but she says every American Apparel ad looks like it was the last photo of that woman ever taken.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that, I heard that 10 years ago.
And
it's still a perfect fucking joke.
Yeah. But I loved her, and I didn't understand, and I had no idea, and I had no awareness. I had no awareness of like feminism. I didn't know anything about the world, which seemingly very late, like mid-20s. You know what I mean?
But you know what also might have worked in your favor is like, I started comedy so early, I didn't have anything to say.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking about Cyril.
Yeah.
If you start later, you have a life experience to talk about. I had no life experience. So I was just like, that's why I feel like it worked for you so quickly, is because you lived a life before you started comedy.
I guess so. Like, and I do feel like there's a lot more like all of us, but I do feel like I've lived like 9 lives in my short time.
Me too.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Where I'm just like, gee, I feel like part of me, I feel like 12. This is all people, but
how,
I feel
wait,
like 12.
How old do you feel in your, how old, like, if someone asks you how old you are, for me, I think I'm 29. I'm 34. I think I'm 29.
Yeah, I would say the exact same.
Yeah?
Yeah.
29?
Yeah.
I just feel 29.
Because, like, now, and I've moved very slowly to mature, and, like, I am, like, a very family-oriented person, but I have found it very hard for me to commit to a man, even though I want marriage. And I'm like, uh-oh, I'm sort of at the age where I got to make some fucking decisions.
No, you don't.
Sort of. Like, no. As a woman, you know?
No, man. Like, I have a girlfriend I love so much.
Yeah.
And I never need to marry her. Like, I will if
but
she wants.
But it's about kids for me.
Yeah, and look, man, whatever happens, happens. Like,
yeah.
You know, we just talked about this. So, me and Summer, you know, we were in Todos Santos, Mexico, having fun for
her
birthday.
I saw. I love Todos Santos.
But I'm just saying, like, this is what, like, if you have kids, awesome. You love them. Incredible. If you don't have kids, you get to go to fucking Todos Santos and get blitzed on margaritas in your 30s. So, like, The both things are nice.
I know.
Both
I think
things
it's,
are nice.
That's true. And like, you know what? If it didn't happen, I would still be happy. But unfortunately, I'm pretty sure it's something I want, which makes it tricky given like, yeah. like I have. But I, you know, maybe I'm about to just like, I stopped dating comedians, you know, several years ago. And so it's trickier.
I've only ever dated one comedian and she was wonderful, but she wasn't in stand up.
Oh.
So I've never dated a stand up comedian.
Good for you.
And I think it's important.
Look, I'll say this. I'm glad to be retired. Look, I'm glad. I'm like 3-4 years clean now.
Oh,
and
my God, Flair,
it feels good.
This is so fucking fun. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Oh, I do have something I want to plug. So I would like to say the Brooks Whelan fans around the world, I would like you to know about my show at the Bell House in New York on September 16th. I'm going to have some fun guests, Connor O'Malley, Joe Pera, and I would love to see you at the show. Tickets in my Instagram, Twitter bio, at Blair Socki, BlairSocci.
I'll put a link in this episode description.
Sick.
I've got a fun Joe Pera Bell House story.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So
I
did the Bell... To pull it back and make it about me.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
which
please.
Which is why I have a podcast.
Please, please.
To make everything about me.
Yeah.
I did a Bell House show, and it was like me, Che, Nick Turner, Pera. And the most Joe Pera thing of all time is, and Shane Torres. Wow, no women.
Who needs like those skirts?
I think Michelle Wolf was there.
Oh, yeah. Michelle Wolf was there. Don't write in.
Yeah, we also had, I said last night, and I honestly believe it, Michelle Wolf is the greatest comedian of my class. She's so good. Okay, but, so, we all go, we drink, it's so fucking fun. It's like, the only time I'm able to sell at the Bell House. I couldn't do it anymore, but I could at that moment. And it fucking rocked. We jump in a car, and Joe Pera is just like, what are we doing tonight, guys? You know, we're going to go get fucking lit in Long Island City. Like, we're going to the creek. We're going to get wasted at the creek. And he's like, okay, cool. And then we're in Rebecca Trent's van driving.
I know that van.
Yeah, we're driving back to the creek.
Yeah.
We're all drinking in the van. Turner's driving, but he's not drinking, and having so much fun. And we're like 20 minutes away, and then we get a text from Joe. He goes, where'd you guys go? We left him at the Bell House. Just left him. And I'm like, God, Joe, you are a prince. And we suck. We left you
That's
there.
That's so funny. You know what, though? Joe is fucking mischievous as fuck. That man, like, plays pranks constantly.
He's the best. Yeah. I love him. I am excited for the season 3 of his show.
Yes.
Go see Blair's show September 13th?
16th.
16th. Dang.
Yeah. Pretty Thursday close. The 16th, 7:30. Come out.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll put a link to the tickets in this episode description.
Thank you.
Blair, I know that you all, this is the 200th episode, and I know that you've listened to all 199
yeah,
before.
Oh my God. I just want to say I'm deeply honored to be at the celebration.
Well, I know you listened to all 199, and obviously, as a fan, you're always texting about what I did right. Never wrong.
Uh-huh.
You know I always have our guest take us out.
Uh-huh. So, what?
You take us out of the episode.
Oh, I just want to thank you so much for having me. This is the best podcast of all time. I've never been on a better podcast in my life. And, you know, c'est la vie. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday. Love you.